We want to introduce you to a lovely lady. Her name is Andrea Asimov. She is she's actually no stranger to South Africa. And she's going to be doing every Thursday, she's going to be doing a feature called From My Jerusalem Window. It's really, you know, as diaspora Jews, we can sit and we can have all of these conversations and Bibi should do this and Bougie did that and whatever, but we're not speaking as Israelis.
Sure, sure.
And I think that we can only stand to gain, whether you're Jewish, whether you're not Jewish, from a perspective of somebody sitting inside. And so we welcome Andrea Asimov. Good afternoon. How are you? And thank you for the time.
Oh, good afternoon.
How did you come to be in Israel? Because you clearly are not Israeli. I mean, you're not native born Israeli.
As we say in my hometown, you think? Yeah, right. So I'm born and bred in New York, and I grew up in a very, very Zionist family. My father, may he rest in peace, he wanted to come to Israel back in 48 at the formation of the state. He was the sole support, one of five children, but sole support of aged parents, and he always knew he would come to Israel, and it did not happen for him. But I grew up, you know, with the Israeli flag in a house that was very culturally and passionately Zionist. And when the opportunity came for me and my then husband and my current six children, we picked up roots after 15 years of marriage, and we made our home in Jerusalem. Naively, we didn't really know what we were doing. I'm here now 23 years. I'm still waiting to find out what I'm doing. But I never looked back, on this decision.
Israel's changed a lot since you arrived.
Changed a lot. In many ways, it's become Europe. And for all that it's gained, I mean, the high-tech field is something stupendous. The supermarket shopping is fabulous. The roads are drivable, all of that. But you know what? There's a certain charm that even in my 23 years, I look back with great nostalgia, and there's things that we miss. So, you know, you can't stop progress, but it's an incredible country, and with every fiber of my being, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Zionist. I believe Jewish land for the Jewish people, and that's the deal.
What has kept you there? Because life for Israelis is not always easy. I mean, it's a country that has been in a state of war. It's just the degree that's varied since its inception. You know, and that's not even new history. I mean, historically, Jerusalem is the most conquered city on the planet.
That may or may, you know, that's true. That's true. And what kept me here, it's interesting because, as many people who experienced crises in her personal life, there was a time, back in 2001, 2002, I seriously thought about leaving Israel. I found myself divorced. I did not speak the language. I had no, career skills to speak of. Still waiting to get a few of them. And, I thought about leaving, and then I took a deep breath and I thought, you know, our enemies say that it doesn't belong to us. Our detractors say it doesn't belong to us. And if I follow that line of thinking, I could make them seem right. And I decided to just absolutely dedicate my life, dedicate my years, dedicate my passions to proving them wrong. We say it's ours. We raise our flags every Yom Ha'atzmaut, Israel Independence Day. People are very passionate when we have wars, and I just feel that somebody has to prove with their lives, their bodies, their passions, their dreams, and their future that this is our country, and that's what keeps me here. And on the bleakest day, I know that I'm sitting at the front row of Jewish history and Jewish tomorrows, and I do not question this decision. And there are some very, indeed, bleak days.
Indeed, I'm sure that they have been.
Andrea, I had the
This is Simon.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi, Simon.
I read your bio, by the way, and it's just so completely fascinating, from all these serious things that we've been discussing now to stuff like Hamirutz Lamilion, the amazing race.
I was hoping that maybe we would get to that.
Hey, that, and you seem to have a thing for South African men.
Yeah, it's true. Not only do I have a thing for South African men, but several of my daughters seem to marry them quite frequently.
Would you like to say hello?
Years ago, I have to tell you, I could not have even found South Africa on the map. And I remember my first visit thinking, the world is like on top of us. It's, yeah. You know, I'm from New York, and we have a saying about Americans in general. And I hope, don't send me poison pen letters, all you Americans. But, you know, there's a saying that if you speak three languages, you're trilingual, two languages, you're bilingual, one language, you're American.
That's true.
We're also the same way about, like, geography. If it's not in New York, hey, it's not there. So, yeah, I'm also a reality television star. But even that was an accident. I never saw the show, but my South African husband kind of signed me up.
Andrea, I found it such an intense experience. I found living in Israel, because I've been lucky enough to have lived there for 3 years, I found it so unbelievably visceral. Everything that happened in Israel affected you. Everything, every item of the news, every economic development, everything. And it is just so intense. And in a weird way, living here is just easier, because
But Jewish people are intense.
You're just not that.
Aren't we intense, Simon?
Yeah, but
you're just surrounded by intense people all the time. I mean, your average cab driver is a professor of something. Really?
You're talking about in Israel?
Yeah, in Israel, yeah.
No, it's true. Your common cab driver, he is a wealth of information. He might be a stereotype in many, many ways. But I have to tell you, if you really want to know the heartbeat, the feel of this country, you know, as we say, etzpa ala dofek, you talk to your cab driver, he knows and he's wise. And if you don't know who to vote for, just check it out with your local cabbie. But Simon, you're right. There's no such thing. You know, when I lived in America, my first close to 40 years, now you can all do the math, all right? I remember somebody would be ill, somebody would sick. You would hear about, you know, Lahavdil, you'd hear about the death of an American soldier. And you feel sad, because somewhere a mother was sad.
Sure.
Somewhere a family had been torn up. In Israel, it's you. It's your baby. It's your boy. If somebody's in financial stress, and you're right, it is not for the weak-kneed life here.
Yeah, that's interesting. Israelis take responsibility for one another's children. I was there in February last year, and No, it wasn't February. I think it was in August. And there were these rockets that were going over from Beersheba and from Gaza into Israel. And I went to a music concert. And this was in a community. There was Hanan Ben Ari and Moshe Peretz. And they had bussed in all the children from Kfar Aza. Which was a good hour and a half away. But they had bussed in all these children who had come from this trauma where there were rockets flying in and they had to run into bomb shelters. In fact, they were living in bomb shelters. And they take responsibility for one another's children. You know, if you send your children on a gap year to Israel, an Israeli family is allocated to your child and they take your child in for that gap year.
Yeah.
You know,
lone
soldiers, they take your children in for a gap year. And it's a very – Israelis get a lot of things right. Andrea, and I think that I can understand what keeps you there.
But I'm very grateful. I'm happy that you know it, because, again, you know, I do have children living in Galut. I've made my decision. My mother, you know, she should live and be well. And, you know, she hasn't come here. I have a brother and sister in the States. And I don't claim to have any kind of moral – I haven't taken any moral high ground except for myself. And when I sit and I say that anybody listening to this show, if they want to drop me a note, if they want to, they can get to me via, you know, you guys, Simon and Kathy. And I'm happy to help and direct people, because it's rough. But I tell you, we're not here by mistake. There's not one of us who looks into the eyes of another human being on the face of the earth and says, gee, what happened? What happened in that big bang that made me arrive here? I'm truly, not only do I love this land, I love this land because I love God and I love being a child of God. And yes, it's rough, but it's an incredible feeling to wake up every day and know that you have chosen a life that's rife with meaning, even if you do not know what that meaning is. You know what? I'll take the mystery. I'll take the chance. I'll take the sealed envelope. But to live in Israel and to be part of what we've been crying for, yearning for thousands and thousands of years, and I get this opportunity to live in Jerusalem, Ir HaKadosh, the holy city, it's crazy.
Andrea,
and all I had to do was say yes.
Andrea, we are going to leave. I'm so going to look forward to speaking to you on a weekly basis. I cannot tell you. The questions are mounting and building, but we're going to leave it there because we are going to have to cross over to sport. We are late for sport.
Thank you so much. Shabbat shalom to everybody. Really, Shabbat shalom u'mivorach. And I'll speak with you next week.
Please, God. Shabbat shalom. That's Andrea Simontov, Israeli media personality and radio show host on Israel News Talk Radio.